Where we're starting the top of Pei Gimel and Aleph, it's about 10 lines down in the wide lines. We're doing this continuing from yesterday, the issue of whether Nitzkal Pusheyahu, right, whether a person who trips is a Pusheyah, and then what is the Shvu'ah that the person has to take in order to be Poter themselves. So yesterday we discussed the two possible solutions in the Stira and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir in Baba Kama seems to say Nitkal is a Pusheyahu. And then over here, from our Mishnah, it seems to indicate, or the Brice also, it seems to indicate that Rabbi Meir believes Nitkal lav Pusheyahu. So the first answer we gave was by Rabbi Lazar, Mishu Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, Tavra. Right? There are two different authors of this opinion of Rabbi Meir. Second answer we had was from Bechir Ba'aba, from Yochanan, the Shavuah, and our Mishnah is a Shavuah de Rabbanan. It was a Takanat Chachamim, Ipnei Tikkun Olam, in a sense, that people would never carry items for other people if they knew for sure that they could, they would have to pay every time they fell. So this way, this is a Shavuah to say that, even though they can't say Shlo Pasha, because according to Rabbi Meir, you are a Pusheya when you trip, but nevertheless, they could say, I didn't break it on purpose, and that allowed, again, for there to be, socially tenable that a solution to allowing people to carry other people's items. So now we have a story. Ho Gabra, to have a ma'aver chavita de chamra baristika de mechuza. So there was an individual who was calling, carrying around barrels of wine on the ristika de mechuza, which is the streets of mechuza, but tavra beziza de mechuza. And it broke on one of the rocks or beams that jutted out into the street from the walls on the side. So he crashed into that and it shattered the barrel. Ata the kamei de Rava, he went to Rava. Amalei ristuka de mechuza shchichi ba'inchi. So he says that the streets are full of people in mechuza. There's no such thing as an empty street in mechuza, and therefore we're going to be, you're really subject to the din of Isi ben Yehuda, which we discussed yesterday. Isi ben Yehuda says that the only time you're allowed to take a shvu'ah to be poter yourself is if there's a lack of edim. I mean, a shvuah is a last resort where we have no normal due process to solve the problem, which is either we have evidence or we have edim that can tell us what happened here. If we don't, the last thing you can do, shvuah tashem, diyabirishtayam, that there's a shvuah. We say, okay, fine. Then you have to tell the truth. How do we ensure you tell the truth? We say, all right, you don't have to tell the truth in front of us. You go speak in front of your Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're going to take a shvuah with the name of Shem Hashem, right? And we're going to make sure that you tell the truth now. So that solution is only if there's no other, right, evidence. Right, so go bring a proof. The way the girsa of the igra is that lo pashat below b'shataba, that you weren't poshea b'iftar, and then you'll be patur. So Amalei Rav Yosef Rei Kaman Kisi. What? Who are you paskening like? Are you paskening like Isi that he doesn't have to take a shvuah? He says Amalein Kisi. You're right. Yes. Enoch, and that is who I'm passing like Isi. V'svir lan kavate, and we hold like Isi ben Yehuda. And when there is evidence, when there are edim, then we don't take a shvuah. You got to bring the edim. How gavra damale de chavre zil zavenli arba mea dani chamra. Said, go buy for me 400 barrels of wine. Azol zavenli, he said, went and purchased them for him. Nusuf atel the kameh came in front of him. He says, damale zvinel cha arba mea dani chamra. He says, I did your bidding. I went out and bought 400 barrels of wine. B'takif aluhu, and they're all vinegar now. They all turned into vinegar. I bought 400 barrels of wine, they all turned into vinegar. So, atel kamei de Rava. They came to Rava to give psak aloch about what to do in this case, to adjudicate. So, Amalei, arba mea dani chamra takife kali itluhu. He says that 400 barrels of wine to go bad, right? That has, some people will know about that. That is an unusual event. Right. That is so unusual that everybody's going to know about that. Zil etiraya. So then go bring a proof to Mikara Kimizavna Lahu Khamra Malyahu Vipater. Go and bring proof or evidence, but when you purchased it, it was wine. I mean that so many that this is such an unusual event that people are gonna know about it. And if they're you're buying in such quantity, 400 barrels of wine, that once people hear about, oh my gosh, it turned into vinegar, then you'll have people show up who can tell you that he bought it when it was wine. But you gotta bring evidence that when you actually purchased it, it was wine. I mean, how do you have 400 barrels go bad all at once in a short period of time and to say that they weren't vinegar up front? I guess the suspicion here is that he bought vinegar up front or bad wine up front and he pocketed the difference. So I'm really Rav Yosef Brei Kiman Kisi. He says, are you passing again like Kisi? I mean, it's obviously a different story. I'm really in Kisi, you're right. I am passing like Kisi. V'sviral and Kavate, and I hold like Kisi. But again, when there is alternative avenues for getting proof, we say, bring that proof, and not, Shvat Hashem Tiyah B'nin Shnehem. Itkin Rav Chiya bar Rav Yosef b'sichra that he was metakein in a place called Sichra, that ani the daru be'agra, right, the itvar nishalim palgal, that those that carry with the agra would pay half of the value of what they broke. So now, what's the daru be'agra? So the Rashi explains that a daru be'agra is that there's a mot kafuf. It's a some sort of stick or beam that is bent, bemso in the middle. But no al ktefo, he puts it on his shoulders. Nose shnei badim b'shnei roshav. He puts two items on its two ends. Nose basa kaved, carries a heavy.
Something like this.
Right, it seems like that. In the shoulder. Right. It's half the amount because, as far as what he's carrying double the load because he has this fixture that he puts on his shoulders. And that allows him to cover whatever the load. So technically, he could carry more than one load because he's able to carry more than one. But he can't carry all the way to two. All the way to two really needs a second person. But if you bring in a second person, it's too little for two people to carry. So it's somewhere in between one person and two people. So we say, therefore, he is part posheya and part ones. Because he is overloaded. He is above his... Right, you know how they mark on the trucks or on the roads, you can't be over a certain weight. So this is above his real capacity to hold it. But on the other hand, he really can't, we can't bring in a second person because it's not, there's not enough weight here to bring in a second person. So therefore he said, Nishalim Palgo, he paid for half of it. My time, Nafish Luchud, Vizuta the Trey. Right, it's more than for more weight than one person can really handle, but it's too little for two. So Karav Donish, the Karav the Pshia. Right, that is Karav Lones and then Karav the Pshia, and that's why he'll pay half. So now, B'digla, Mishalim Kula. And if he uses a digla, then he pays for the whole amount. So what's a digla? So Rashi says, the Doru B'digla, if he carries a digla, Eitz Mifutzal B'rosho. Right, it's a stick that is split at its head. V'kosher Bo Masash Shnei B'nei Adam. Puts on double. Splits it too, right. So Toshu Mesab Bnei Shnei B'Adam Machnis Tzavaro Ben Shnei Tzalav, and he sticks his neck between the two, the split in the stick, right? V'Motala Beis Ktefav, then it's sitting on his two shoulders. V'Korin Oto B'Lashon Ashkenaz Gavla, V'Shol Shel Mata Aruch, right? The lower half is long. V'Shomei Lafush Mitzigo B'Karka. When he wants to rest, he rests it down on the ground. He puts the stick, the back end, the long end of the stick, he's able to rest it on the ground when he's walking, so it gives him a break. Right, so it's not clear to me exactly. One of them seems to be like a beam that goes across.
Oh,
and, right, right. It's like the water carriers have, which is the first one, this agra, which is when you have the two buckets of water on the side and the stick across the back, that's what it seems like. And the other one seems to be some sort of stick that went around, some sort of shoulder harness that went around, that split around the neck, and then he was able to put the items on the... there he pays Mishalim Kula. There he pays the whole amount, because... there, it's harbe b'masa shnei b'nei adam. There was so much, the weight is so great that really two people should be carrying that type of item. That's not, it's really way beyond what a single person should carry, and therefore he's considered a posheya, and he pays the whole amount. Rabba b'rachanan tavrulei hanu shokulai chavite dechamra. So Rabba b'rachanan, either b'rachanan or b'rachana is the gears of the Rif. And the Rosh has a gears of Rabba b'ravuna. So ever it was that Tavru Anu Shokulai, it seems like schleppers, were taking Chavita de Chamra, they broke one of his barrels of wine, they were carrying it. So Shoko Legimilayu, he took their coat, his collateral to get his money back, because they broke it. So what he was thinking, or why he thought, either he has to say, I have to hold like Rabbi Meir, that Nitzkal's Posheyoho, and this instance is Chayav to pay, that's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that he thought either in the place that it was, I don't know if it's Rebchir by Yosef, or that the item where they were carrying, they were posheya somehow, or that they overcarried or they overweighed themselves, therefore they might have been chayav. But either way, he grabs the coat. Atu amru l'rav. They go and take the case before Rav. These schleppers go to Rav and say, listen, this is what he did to us. So amrlei, havlahu glumayu. He says, give them their coat back. Amrlei, dina hachi? Wait a minute. Allah is really like this? What do you mean I'm giving their coat back? Here they are, pushim, and they have to pay. I mean, first of all, the Shomer Sachar paying them to do the work. So they have a din of Shomer Sachar. They have a din of Shomer Sachar, they should pay up over here, either because they're Poshehu, or according to Rabbi Huda, that's the din of a Shomer Sachar. So why shouldn't they pay? Samarlay, in, this is the din. The man, telech b'derech tovim. Person has to do the nice thing, do the right thing. So Rashi calls this, lifnim mishurat adin. So he says, din ha'achin, and he says to him, yes, lifnim mishurat adin. And that is the din of lifnim mishurat adin. We'll get back to it. Rashi says it's called, Rashi says it's lifnim mishurat adin. Yayvin lehu glamayo, so he gave them back their coat. Amarlay, they said to Rav Aniye Anan, says that we're poor, we're in poverty. Tachinan kula yoma v'kafinan. We worked all day, and now we're going to starve because we're not going to get paid. Fine, you got us our coat back so that we don't have to
we don't lose,
but we still don't get paid for what we did. And we have nothing to eat. So then he says back to Rabbi Rechana, and he says, pay them their salary. Okay, it's one thing. You took the coat away, but now you're going to make me pay their salary after they broke it? Says, yes, it is. The din achi, or chod tzadikim tishmar. So that's the end of the pasuk, man telech b'derech tovim, or chod tzadikim tishmar. That's the way of, right, the way of the tzadikim is to do this. So now, the question of what the demand here on Rabbi Rechanan is questionable. Rashi just claims that it's lifnim mishur tadin. But if it's lifnim mishur tadin, we told this already, we discussed this earlier in the Masechta, but in Chavdal Amid Bet, Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara have so many different ways to get lifnim mishurat hadin?
Both
psukim, and the Gemara mentions. In some places, the Gemara brings no pasuk. In other places, the Gemara brings a pasuk, like here, the man delech b'torach tovim, and we had this earlier in Antaf Lamed. The Gemara also brings a pasuk Antaf Lamed to prove that there is not a sita v'yashar v'atov, but that's the Ramban who brings the sita v'yashar v'atov. But here the Gemara quotes, "Vadat lehem, right? Derech hasher yochubav et maaseh asher yaseh." Right, so over there, that Gemara quotes it as the source for lifnim mishurat adin. There, the Gemara says, "Asher yasun zu lifnim mishurat adin." So that's another pasuk the Gemara brings. Then the Gemara in other places, for instance, on Chazal and Bed, says that you have to act lifnim mishurat adin. The Gemara brings no pasuk for it. So Tosfos wants to know, why do we have so many different, right, permutations or sources for lifnim mishurat adin? So Tosfos in Chavdal Amid Bet answers that there are actually different categories of lifnim mishurat adin. And that is that v'yesh lomar the lo mighty kara asher yasun el makom she'acherim chayvim v'hu patur. That when in lifnim mishurat adin, when you're acting where others are chayav, but you have some dispensation that makes you patur. For instance, zaken lifnei kabodo. Case where everybody else would have to return an aveda. But here, because he's a zakein and it's not the fias kavod, he doesn't have to return it. The same thing, or helping someone load onto a donkey. So others are chayav, but you are patur. Because some, whatever reason, or whatever halachic dispensation that you have, you are patur. So now, lifnim mishurat adin, Tosa says, that is when they bring the pasuk asher yasun. That's the pasuk we have on Daf Lamed. Daf Lamed Amud Bet. That is a source of lizel lifnim mishurat adin, where others chayav and you are patur. Then, Hacha b'shmaitin, here, the Gemara here on Chavdal Amud Bet, he says, that's where, again, where there was an Aveda that was after 12 months, and he still returned it. So he was acting lifni mishurat adin after 12 months. So here he tells, it says, there everybody would be patur. Everybody is patur, and therefore the Gemara brings no source for it. He did it lifni mishurat adin, even though he's not chayav, and nobody else is chayav, but nevertheless he acted lifni mishurat adin. There the Gemara brings no pasuk. Then there's our case, right? But that's considered lifnim mishurat adin, right? Because he doesn't lose out. You don't lose any money. In our case, in the Gemara, he classifies as lifnim mishurat adin because you lose nothing. It's an aveda. You didn't cost you anything, right, to do it. And if you give it back, it's lifnim mishurat adin. It doesn't cost you any money. So there we say, act lifnim mishurat adin. Then there's our case. Our case over here, which is the case at the end of Socher to Umnim, Pepe Gimon Av, and what's supposed to say about this? Abu Sofa Umnim, Bahanu Shoklai, Sishabu Lo, Chavit, Vasul Hefse Gado, Mishum Lifnim Mishur the Din, Ain Lo the Hafsid. Right? He says that this is not a din of Lifnim Mishur the Din. Lifnim Mishur the Din only applies when you don't lose a lot of money, right? When you don't lose out. One case is over here, it says where you don't lose anything, it's an aveda, and you're giving it back, even though you're not chayav too, so there you're not losing anything. And the Gemara with Daf Lamed later on, which discusses lifnim mishurat adin, that's only when you have a ptur, even though generally you'd be chayav and you have some sort of ptur. Again, there you're not really losing out to do it, you have a mitzvah, right? You can do a mitzvah and do it. So, but over here, there's a huge loss involved, and that's what happened to Rabbi Bachana, he's losing out with all this money. So there he says, there's no din of lifnim mishurat adin, no, the hafsid kach mighty kral, the man telech b'derech tovim. So Tosfos says that this is a different category. This is not classified as the Lifnei Mishurat HaDin anymore. The Lifnei Mishurat HaDin is only applicable when there is no loss. Over here, when there's a huge loss, that's what Rabbi was suggesting to Rabbi Bar Chanan, that you're right. You're not chayav. Even Lifnei Mishurat HaDin, you're not chayav. But if you want to be a person that just does good. Yes, yeah. Exactly, that's why I'm bringing you the Tosfos, because Rashi says, oh, yeah, l'fnei mishurat hadin, which Tosfos says it's not classified as l'fnei mishurat hadin, and that there's a din of man teilech b'derech tovim, to be just a good person. But if you want to be a good person, there's no obligation on you to be a good person. If you want to be a good person, and you want to do that which is tov, and maybe even what the Ramban calls v'asita yashar v'atov, v'asita yashar v'atov, according to Ramban, seems to be more like a chiyuv, that there's an obligation on the person. Over here, Tosfos is indicating that it may not even be an obligation over here of l'fnei mishurat hadin, but if you want to have a shame tov, right, and here you're Talmud Chacham, and you want to do that which is right, and beyond what even is Lifnei Mishurat HaDin, this is what you do. L'man Derech Tovim, Uvachot Tzadikim Tishma. All right. Finish the parak, and we'll start the new parak. Socher et Apolim, someone who hires workers, V'amar Lahem Lashkim L'Arif, says, come early in the morning, come before, you know, the normal time that workers come, and stay late at night. It's a place where he hired them, and that's not the Minhaga Medina where he hired them. Then he can't force them. If the places where they have the Minhag that whoever hires workers, the workers get a meal, then he's got to give them a meal. It's a pek mimitika, it's a pek. And if he has to give them dessert, he'll give them dessert, meaning that whatever the Minhaga Medina is. Kol Kaminhaga Medina. Masib Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya. So this is a case that we had earlier on in the Masechta, Mementer Amud Aleph. There the Gemara was talking about whether there is Chosur Amana, whether there is an Isur, a violation from not keeping your word. So the Gemara brought a question from this case over here. Masib Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya, Shamar Levino, he said to his son, Tzeis Cholanu Poalim, go out and hire for us workers. Halach, Upasak Lehem Mizlnot. He went out and he hired them and he says, we'll feed you. Kshibai Yitzel Aviv, Amano, Bineri. That even if you feed them the biggest meal in the world, you're not, right? You'd say Yudei Chuva, because they are Shehem B'nei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. And if you did not define or quantify the meal that you're going to have to provide for them, then we're going to have to provide for them like B'nei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. And the Gemara and the Gadot later on is going to explain what type of meal we're talking about, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Shlomo HaMelech, Bizmanom. Hello. Before they start the work, go tell them that they're only entitled to a meal of bread and kinit of legumes. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, this is what many of you tainted when we learned the Gemara. Is, what do you mean? What was their expectation? They really had an expectation that they're going to get fed like Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says over here, that he doesn't have to do that because the kol k'minhag ha-medina. Minhag ha-medina is not to provide meals like Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, when he hired them and they didn't define or qualify or quantify the meal, then it would be k'minhag ha-medina. And that's not to give Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rashi is interesting over here. He says the reason that Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya went ahead and retracted the deal prior to them starting work is because Rashi says Dvarim im behem shum mechusar amana, because their deal to now was just on was a commitment, and you're allowed to walk away from a commitment. Now, truthfully, the Gemara on Daf Mem Terem and Aleph does not say that. The Gemara over there wants to say, oh, let's prove that Rabbi Yochanan Mamaji does not hold that there is a problem of mechusare amana, that you can walk away from your commitments. And the Gemara says no. Why over there was it okay? Because he sent his son. And therefore the Poalim were not samchedate. They did not rely on his son because they knew that the son had to go back to the father. So until he went back to the father, they were not samchedate. It was a final deal. And that's what the Gemara says, the reason that they can go back. Not because you're allowed to walk away from commitments and there's no muskoyam ana, but rather because they were not samchedate. Because they weren't samchedate, therefore he could retract the statement until they started working. Once they started working, there Tosfos explained, and once they started working, then there is a commitment because he thinks at that point that the father must have approved. If they're already starting to work, then the son must have told the father, and the father approved, then they are somechdat. But at that point, the workers are not somechdat. And now Gemara says, Pshita. Gemara says, okay, what's the question here? If you hire workers, why should you be able to impose on them to come early and stay late? I mean that you hire them, and you never specified that they have to do this. That wasn't part of the agreement. Then why should you be able to impose on them something that's not minhagim dan? They're not normal wage workers. Go. Where it says about tzricha the tafiluhu agrayu, that he added extra compensation to them. He increased their compensation beyond normal palim. So about the time we can say amelhu had the tafiluhu agrayu adaited the kadmitu mashchitu, but. So I'm paying you extra money because I expected you to come a little early and stay later. That's why I'm paying you more. Otherwise, I would have paid you like regular palim. So kamash v'lon, we say no. D'amrle hayde tofilan atafilan adata davinan lachavita shapirta. So similar to what we saw in the previous parak. That no, the reason that you added on, or the reason we thought you added on to our salary is because we will do a nice job. We'll do it better than a normal job. You paid for high quality. We're going to give you high quality. Now, it sounds to me that Amar Lahem is after he already agreed, after he had hired them, then he says, come in and, come early and come late. It's Tosfos, where is this? Perishri, Bishu Sachran Stamo, right? Our Mishnah is talking about a case where he didn't explicitly, to define it. That was afterwards. After the fact, he's trying to make them impose them either because he paid them more or because afterwards he... Right, in Davar B'Shiba Mamon, whatever tonight you make, you can hire somebody with whatever tonight that you want. Right? That you can make any conditions as long as you make them up front. Everybody agrees to them, then it's Savir V'Kabil. Everybody accepts them, then you have to do that. Samar Eish Lakish, Po'el B'Knisato Mishalo U'B'Yitziato Mishel Balabayit. So now, the way Rashi explains this, that's Mishalo, be Knisato, Miknisato means Knisato the ear. When he's going back to the city, after the day's work is finished, then Mishalo comes on out of his expense. Meaning, Tzarech Levater Mishalo, Rashi says, Mishalo Eitzel Balabayit L'Chashichet. So he has to stay with him until it's dark, right, until after it's dark, and then he goes home. Whereas, B'Yitziato, Yitziato means on his way to the work, Mishalo Balabayit. That's on the Cheshbon of the Balabayit. Why? Because you only have to start out by sunrise.
He doesn't have to show up by
sunrise. He has to be there by sunrise. Technically, we're going to see in a second that the work day is from sunrise until Tzeit HaKochavim. That's a normal work day. It says sunrise to Tzeit HaKochavim. So what Rabbi Shlakish is saying is that when it comes to the morning, when you are going to the Balabait, when you go to the Balabait, you're going there, you're heading there, is for the benefit of the Balabait. That's part of your work to get to the location. Therefore, when you start working, you start at Netzach Chama, means that you start your travel, you start your journey to your Balabait at Netzach Chama. On the way home, right, that is on your, that's for your benefit. You want to get home. You're finished, the Balabait's done with you, you're finished with the work there, he doesn't need you to go home. So therefore, you must complete your work. The way Tosus reads it, Tosus says that you have to stay until Tzeis HaKochavim, then you go home, right, at that point. Rashi seems to indicate that you even have to be Vater Mishalot, that you have to actually stay even beyond, a little beyond the time that it's dark, and then you head home at that point. But it's on your cheshbon. That's the way Rashi and Tosos learn it. Of Knisato and Yitziato. Knisato means your way home, and Yitziato means on your way to work. The Rach, on the other hand, reverses that. It says, Po'el b'Knisato, b'Knisato means on your way to work. U'b'Yitziato means on your way home. Because wouldn't that be the natural setup of the words here? Don't you first go to work and then come home afterwards? So it shouldn't be Knisato is on his way to work and Yitziato is on the way home. And the Rach explains, therefore, on the way there, he has to get up before Netz, right? And meaning that he has to leave at a lo d'shachar to be at his job at right, Netz HaChama. And on the way out, then it's B'shel HaBalabait. It means that he lets him leave so that he gets home before it's dark. I mean, that's a reasonable assumption. Zirach says that Tosus rejects the Rach's explanation and agrees with Rashi, except for that small nuance about Levater Mishalo, that he doesn't think that he says that's too much. All it means is that he has to stay till Tzeis, and then he leaves. The question about why the working day is from Netz until Tzeis, because we have evidence, Gemara is going to bring down proofs, is why that is the case. And even though Tosus says, the Gemara quotes this in Workers, when it came to working on the Mikdash, that they used to work from Alot HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim. So when they were building in the time of Ezra, when they were building the Mikdash, that was their workday. Workday was from Alot until Tzeis. So it says, how come their workday was from Alot until Tzeis? And then we're here saying is that the Netz HaChama from sunrise until Tzeis HaKochavim. Why is that? So Tosu says, the Af above that. Right, now, our Gemara says from sunrise, Netz, until Tzeis. But in the Ezra, it says that they worked from Alot HaShachar until Tzeisach HaChavim.
Because they were in Yerushalayim, they
had to stop there. They had to get over, but still, from their house to the Big Dash, they had to go over there. So the Tosafot says, Afagad Ezra Tiv, Gabi Binyan Beit HaMikdash, Shayu Osim, Me'alot HaShachar, Atam Mishum Kvod Beit HaMikdash, Yim Akad Meitvei. They were excited. They went to build the base of Mikdash. They got up early. Kvod base of Mikdash. Vashar Polim, Lo Yotzim L'machala Menitzah Veilach, Shalicha Hi L'Tzorach Balabayit. Because the walk, getting to work is for the balabait, and when you're going for the balabait, you leave it innate, because that's part of your job. Part of your job is to get to the job, and therefore your work starts innate, you gotta be there. Alright, so now the Gemara says, how do you know that's the case? Shneimar, Tizrach HaShemesh Yeyaseifun, right? When the sun comes up, they gather together to go do their work. Ve'ome onotam, right? Your batzun. So until they're in their, here we're talking about the animals, but to their pens, they will crouch. It say Adam lefalo. Then the person will go out to his work. Lo'abadato ad erev. And then he will work until erev, until nightfall. So there we see Tizrach Shemesh. So when the sun comes up, that's when Yesafun, that's when they start to get together here. And they go out to Yitzay Adam lefalo. Then a person goes out to his work. And Labato ad erev. And then he stays at his work. He works until ad erev. And ad erev means until Tesa Kochavim. So what's Reish Lakish's din? Then it's all about Minhag Medina. What do you mean? Fine, the Psukim say that, but that doesn't matter. It's about Minhag Medina. Bir Chadasha, new city. No Minhagim, so they need to set, they want to set the policy. This is the policy they should set. So when it says, what do you mean? Let's just see where they came from. They're starting a new city. They all came from a place. So let's say what the Minhag was from when they came from. Ben Nukutai, it's like Eretz Yisrael today, modern day Eretz Yisrael. It was an eclectic group of individuals that came together, people of different backgrounds, from different minhagim. So there was no consistent minhag. So now they're starting a new city, there's no consistent minhag. So here, I'll tell you what the minhag should be. It should be like the psukim layout. Or the other option is, no. That it's not. There was a Minhag Medina. It's in a regular city, but he says, I'm hiring you like a Poel Doraita. I'm hiring you like the Torah's worker. So now, what's a Torah's worker? So that's what Reish Lakish tells us. This is what the worker means, Mina Torah.
So obviously, I assume there was different prices for the winter and the summer.
For the winter, the day, right. I'd hope so. Darsh Rabbi Zera, Ramila, Tani Rabbi Yosef. What does it mean? So here, the Gemara is darshan in the Psukim. It's a couple of Psukim before, right, in the Barchi Nafshi. Tashet Choshech V'ilayla created darkness and there was night. Bo Tirmos Kolchay Toyar. So then all the wild animals of the forest, you know, they start to stir, they move around. So Gemara says, Tashet Choshech V'ilayla Zeh Olam Hazeh. That Tashet Chod Hashem created darkness and it was night. That is this world. Shedome Lalayla, right? That it's like nighttime. Bo Tirmos Kolchay Toyar. Elo Rishaim Shibo. These are the evil people in this world. Shedomim lechaya shebiyar. They're like the wild animals in the forest. Tizrach Hashemesh Yeyasifun. Right. So that's now the later on the psukim. Right. It says, oh, then when the sun rises, then they'll get together. So then Be'el Me'onotam Yibatzun. So then Gemara, how do we darshan that? So Tizrach Hashemesh LeTzadikim. Right. The light will come for the tzadikim. Yeyasifun. What is it? Yeyasifun. When the Rishaim legeinom. When the Rishayim are gathered into Genem, Ba'al Menotam, Yir Batzun, and they'll go to the proper place where they belong. So that's the Atid Lavo, right? The Atid Lavo, the Tzadikim will see the light, and the Rishayim will get to their place where they belong, which is, right, Yesafun Le Gehinom. They'll go down to the place they belong. So, in the Chak, Chod Tzadik, Tzadik, Shein Lo Madur Lifri Kvodo. Right, that there's no, every tzaddik has a proper place in Olam Haba, that is the fik fodo, to feed what he has done or what he has earned. It's say Adam lefalo, right, that a person goes out to his work, yatsu tzaddikim lekabel scharan, lovedat, and the tzaddikim come out to collect their reward for all that they did, olavado ade erev, mimishi shlim avarato ade erev, from the one who did their work before night came, or before nightfall. What does that mean, ade erev? Before mi yom ha-misa, before they died. They took care of things before, in the Olam Hazeh, those that took care of things and did what was right, then they will get rewarded in the Olam Haba. So here's the Gemara dashening this pasuk of in Barchi Nafshi. So now, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, Ashkach lahu parguna, takatafis ganve. Rabbi Shimon bumped into an officer, a deputy of the government, that his job was to capture or catch the criminals, thieves. That was his job. He was a thief catcher. So, how do you catch up with these thieves? How do you ever catch up with them? Lav kechayuta matile. Aren't they the mashal that we just saw above in the pasuk? Is that they're compared to wild animals? Or to animals? Dichtei botir mosko chayto yar. And we just saw the drasha that we had in the pasuk. Those are the rishayim, that they're like the animals of the field. So the possibility is that either they're sneaky or they stay out of sight, or the other thing is that they work at night. And if they work at night, how are you going to catch them if you're walking around during the day? How do you know how to catch them? You get Amrei Mahaikra, Kamarlai, or is it this pasuk you brought a proof? Rebbe Mistar Kariye Besuko, that they hide right in the darkness, in the shadows, like the lion in his den, the lion in his shadows. So how do you ever catch these guys? Either they're hiding and you can't get up, catch up to them, or it's at night that they're working. And how do you know when you catch these ganivim? Say zimo shakol tzadike v'shavke rishayim. Maybe you're picking up all the tzadikim and leaving the rishayim, because the rishayim aren't around when you're doing your job, and the only people you're picking up are innocent people. So malei umavit. He says, what should I do? Armana demalkahu. Right, that's the command. I have a tzivui from the king. I have a decree of the king. This is my job. This is what I got to do. What do you expect me to do? I mean, I got to go to work every day, like the king says. Samar amalei tagarmach. I'll teach you, hechia David, what you should do. O ba'arba shoy lechanuta. Go in at the fourth hour into the store. Right, this is aruchat eser. Right, aruchat eser. You go into the store. You see everybody's eating breakfast. That's the first suda of the day. Aruchat eser. Ki chazita inish, the kashati chamro. You see people are drinking wine, but kanatki kasabi yadeh, and they're holding the cup or the goblet of wine in their hand, but kaminamnim, and they're dozing off while they're holding it. Sholalei, check into these individuals. People are dozing off at 10 o'clock, right? You have a question about what they were doing. So, itzur bin mirabanan ha'ovenayim. If it's a young Talmud Chacham and he's falling asleep, dozing off, Abdume called him the Girsay. He got up early. Got up to go to the Nates Minyan. He got up to Davin Kivasikin and to learn. So that's why he's tired, because he got up so early. Ipoelu called him Gavid Avite. If he's a worker, then he got up early because he's got to be up at Nates to start his work. Vi Avite Vilelia. If his work is at night, I mean he's a night workman, Rdude Radid. But for some reason, these Rdude Radid, we have by the Mishkan, that they're Rodedas, those that pound down the metals into order to make them into chutim, right? They used to flatten out, thin out the metals, and then they used to make them into strings to be used as string. So for whatever their their work was at night. It's very fine work, and it doesn't make a lot of noise, so therefore people do it at night. So that's the work was done at night. Velo, if they're not one of these three categories, right? Either it's a young Talmud Chacham, or a poel, or a night worker, then you know what they are. Ganvu. Right, the tough say, that's it, you got him. That's a ganav, and you can take him, because why is he falling asleep? Because he was out working at night. Since he was out working at night, he's tired. Ishtama milsa be'malka. So the king, or the Caesar, the, I don't know if it was the governor of Judea at the time, heard about Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's suggestion. Amru, kraino di grato, you have a parvanaka, right? So the parvanka, the one who reads the decree, should be the one to carry it out. So you're the one who knows so well how to carry it, how to catch ganavim. Why be an advisor? Why be a consultant? Come on, we'll put you in the job. So they put him in the job. Achu, the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and cut off his ganve. They put Rabbi Elazar in the position. Now he became the thief catcher. It's interesting here, which I think is, I didn't see anybody discuss it, but I think it's amazing that who are we talking about here? We're talking about Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Baran Shabbos, Andaf, Lamed Gimel, talks about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon. And then, why did they have to run away into the cave? Why did they run away in the cave?
They were running away, they were escaping.
Escaping from the Romans, why? Because what did they say, right? In the Beis Medrash, they talked about the Romans, right? So there were three people who spoke about the Romans over there. And what did Reb Shimon Yochai say about the Romans? He said they only do it for their own benefit, the government is corrupt. Right, and they only do things for their own benefit. And therefore, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon wasn't the one who said it, but he was there, and they both ended up running away because Rabbi Shimon Yochai criticized the government. And then in the end, now Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is part of the government. He gets hired. So I don't know if this is before the incident or after the incident, but this is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon who ran away for criticizing the government, and he is now an employee of the government. Right, so Azil, because of it, Azil Shalach Leirab, Azil. I'm sorry, Shemekatav is Gambi Vazel. Sholach Le Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Chometz ben Yayin. So Rabbi Shua ben Karcha sent to him Chometz ben Yayin, Yayin being Rabbi Shimon Yochai, a tzaddik. Chometz, you vinegar, Rasha, son of a tzaddik. Ad Matayat demoser amo shalalukein lariga. You're the one now, you're being moser Jews to be killed by the government because they're thieves. What are you doing? You want to use that mashal of chometz ben yain? I'll tell you, I'm taking the thorns out of the vineyard. So I claim that I saw this mashal says that the thorns in the vineyard are what caused the chometz to go, that caused the yain to go bad. So basically, what he's saying, you call me a chometz, I'm the one removing the kotzim, so there won't be chometz, there won't be any vinegar. I'm doing a good thing. Says, let the owner of the vineyard clean out his own vineyard. What are you doing the work for? Meaning, let a Kadosh Baruch Hu take care of the Rishayim. You don't have to be the one to clean out the Rishayim. Yom Echad, Pagabei Ha'u Koveis. Right, so this launderer bumped into Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Karya Chometz Ben Yayin. So it was, he called him the vinegar, the son of wine. So this name seemed to catch on. So this launderer is calling him this name. Amram Dechatziv Kulei Hai, Shema Min HaRishiyahu. He says, if this guy is so mechutzah to speak to a Talmud Chacham like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon in this manner, it's one thing if it's Rabbi Shua ben Karach who is speaking to me, but if this Koveis that's speaking to me, how could it be? So he says, Shema Min HaRishiyahu, he must be a bad person, he must be an evil person. Amalu Tafsu, he says, grab him, take him. I mean, obviously he was in power now to take people away, so he says, take him away. So now, Tafsua, the Baltud and Achdate, so they took him, and afterwards, after he calmed down, after he wasn't offended so much, then Azal Batre the Fruke, he went back to free him. He says, oh my gosh, what did I do? I just got angry at somebody. Got upset at somebody, and then I put him into, now I'm putting him into, he's going to be killed. Let me go out, get him out of there. Let me go take him out of jail. This is also interesting, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, if you remember, also in the Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gimel Alf, when they came out of the cave. Right, so he's the Rabbi Shimon, they came out, Rabbi Shimon, everywhere they looked, they said, how could they be Menichim, Chai Olam, Oskim B'Chai Shah, and everywhere they looked, they burnt out. So Shem sends them back into the cave for another 12 months. Then they come out again, and what happens when they come out? Kol Makom, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon looked, Nisraf. Everywhere that Rabbi Shimon Chayu looked, he fixed it. So that whatever Rabbi Shimon destroyed, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was able to fix afterwards. But you see that Rabbi Shimon was a mekant, I mean, he was a kaptan, a kanai, right? That he used to, when somebody got, so here somebody upset him, what are you, right away, tafsula, take him away. Same type of, same midah, right? So velo matze, he went to find this individual and he didn't catch him. He didn't find him. He couldn't free him. He was already hung. He was hung by the government already. So he said about him, Shomer Pi Velushonel, Shomer Mitzarat Nafsho. So now, the question is who he said about. The Rashi interprets this, that the Koveis. He said this about the Koveis. If you watch your mouth, you don't get into trouble. Right, if he hadn't been Mechutzah, he wouldn't have ended up in this position. Meaning that his mouth caused him the problem and he should have kept quiet. The Marsha says it was Lulei Rashi, he would have said that he was talking about himself. Right, that person doesn't, right, person has a tafsua. If I just kept control over myself, I wouldn't get into trouble. So then I wouldn't have this problem. Zakvu, they had hung him. Right, so Kam Tute, Zakifa Vakabachi. He was hung on the tree, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon went over there and he started crying to ask for Mechila, that he had done something wrong, that he was upset that he had gotten this person hung. So Amrlei, Rebbe, Al Yerebbe, Inecha. They said, Rebbe, don't think anything bad of what happened here. Shuhu. These people are not, this is not the type of guy that you have to worry about. They are Rishayim Lagamre. They are Boel and Aram Urasa, which is the worst of all, right, of all the Arayot, and which is Chayiv Veskilo, and they did it on Yom HaKippurim. So he says, he put his hand on his belly. Amar Sisu B'nei Ma'ai Sisu. You know, be rejoice, my belly, rejoice, my belly. Umas feiko chalachem kach. Here, where it was a safek, I did it because I thought, because he's mechutzav, it's clearly something wrong here, and I did it, and I was right. There, when I know for sure, when I really tofez ganavim, then certainly I'm doing the right thing. Muftach ani bachem, she'en rima, betola sholetet bachem. So he says that, I am certain that there will be no rot that comes into you, meaning that the indication that he was a tzaddik, and he was doing the right thing, because tzaddikim never rot. So he says that I am certain that the fats of my stomach will not rot when I pass away. So the case of Marsha explains over here, why was it important that his son also sinned? Right, so one possibility is that just to show that he was such a great Rasha. I mean, that he was such a Rasha that he not only did he sin, but his children followed after him and he was sinning. Yeah, Marsha says, now maybe, because what's the din of someone who's nerag the Malchus? Someone who is brought by the Malchus, killed by the Malchus? The din is that the Malchus, that the governor takes all the property of that individual. That Yerusha does not go to the children, but reverts to the king. So that was the problem here. The problem is that, okay, he hung him, but maybe he had children that were Ruim, and now they're not going to get Yerusha because of that. So that's what he says. Now, not only is he not any good, his children were no good either. So you don't have to worry about the fact that he was Nerag, the Malchus, Harag, you know, the Malchus, and that all his possessions were taken by the Malchus. Both of those things that he did were fine, because both him and his son were Rishayim. So now, where it says, Vahilo Achilo Miyatve Date. That Elazar ben Shimon was not satisfied with that. He was still upset about the situation. Even though he made that declaration at the time, and they had told him that these people were Shayim, he wanted to be certain that he was really clean in this instance, meaning that he was really right and innocent in this issue. So what did they do? Ashkuyu Samad Shinto. They gave him got his anesthesia, they put him to sleep, and then they, by Lula Beta de Shisha, they took him into a marble house where it's cold, where it's very cool. We cover the crazy, say they cut open his stomach, and we're going to see in a little bit that he was a very, very hefty man. Fat was pouring out of his belly because he was so large and so fat that these pieces of fat fell out. They took the fats out and they placed it in the sun right now, right, the Tammuz and Av, in the summertime, where it's very hot outside. And it didn't go bad. So when it says, what's the chiddush? Kol tarbei nami lo sirich. All fat doesn't go bad in the sun. It's not something that unusual, but it's fat. It says, no, kol tarbei lo sirich. Suraike sumke masriach. You're right. Fats, in general, do not rot. But when they have some sort of red and seems like marks of flesh in them, then they do go bad. And hacha afagav deika suraike sumke lo masriach. So over here, even though it wasn't just pure fat, it had the red in it, and it has, like, I guess, which is blood, and then it has streaks of flesh in it. In that instance, it would go bad, and his, nevertheless, didn't go bad in Tammuz and Av. Kari and Nafshei said about himself, Af pisari yishkon levetach, right, that my even my flesh will rest, you know, forever. But here, I mean, I think betach means that certainty. I know with certainty that I did the right thing, because my flesh shows that I'm doing the right thing, because it doesn't go bad when they take it out. The actual medical procedure they performed them, I don't know. They put him to sleep. It's clear here. They put him in Simba de Sinta. They put him into anesthetic, and then they, anesthetic in the sense that he went to sleep. I don't know if he didn't feel anything, but afterwards, and then they did the surgery on him. All right, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Mata Ki Hai Maisel Liode. Right, he had a similar situation, which is that he was appointed by the king to be the thief catcher. So Paga be Eliyahu. Now he doesn't get Rav Shur ben Karcha, he gets Eliyahu Navi. Amalei Ad Matay Tam Moser Amosh Al Elokeinu Lahariga. How long is it? How many times are you going to put this? You know, our people in trouble? Amalei Ma'avid Harmana de Malku. What am I going to do? It's the decree of the king. I can't do anything else. I got to go with the king. So Amalei Avuch Arak LaAsia. Your father ran away to Asia. At Aruk Ludutkia. Run away to Ludkia. I mean, these are far off places. Why do you have to stay within the confines of the Roman Empire? You can leave and not get into trouble. So, you do have an option. The option is to leave, and you should take up that option. That's what Eliyahu says. Gava miklei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Hadei Adadi. So now, when Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon used to walk, I would have read it simply as next to each other, but that's not the case here. Rashi says, panim el panim. When they used to face each other, they was able to be a pair of cows, were able to walk under their bellies and not touch them. And they were so large, such hefty men, that when they were face to face, if their bellies were touching face to face, there was so much space underneath there because of the heft and the size of their bellies that two cows could pass under there. So I mean, that's a pretty. These were pretty large men. And I don't know if the Gemara brings them, I assume, for they're both large, but also because they both had, they both ended up in the same position here, same job of being thief catchers for the government. So Amralu, Hahu Matronito, Benechem, Enem Shalachem. So this matron, right, of the one of the Roman matrons said to them, your children are not yours. So Amrula, Shalahan, Gadol, Mishalanu. So they say, what do you mean? Now, the claim of the matron was that there's no way these are your children because you cannot have tashmish amita with such a big belly. There's just no way you can have tashmish and tashmish amita. So he says, no, our wives' bellies are even bigger than ours, meaning that they're fatter than us. So she says, koshikei. She says, what type of raya is that? It makes it even worse. Then there's no way that you could have tashmish if you're both so fat. So there are some that say that this is what they said to him. Ki'ish gvuroto. In like the heft of the person, or the size of the person, his members also that size. So we have a larger member, so we could have. Now that love pushes away all the fat, and therefore we're able to be niskak the tashmish. Says, why do they even answer her? Why do they have to give her a response? I mean, let her say whatever she wants. Why do they have to respond to her? Right? You shouldn't answer a fool like his foolishness, right? So why are they responding to her? No, they were responsible for their children, meaning that, true, they don't have to respond to her silliness, but then it'll cast aspersions on their children. If it casts aspersions on their children, people will have questions about their children. So they responded to her so that the people would know that they were their children, they really were their children. So now, the Gemara is going to continue with the unusual piece here, and we'll read Tosas in a second. I am Rabbi Yochanan, Eved Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yose, the member of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yose, Chamat Bat Teisha Kabin. It's like a pitcher that holds 9 kav. So Abra Papa Ivrid Rabbi Yochanan, the member of Rabbi Yochanan, Kechamad Bat Chameshit Kavim, was like a 5 kav pitcher. Ramila Bat Shloshit Kavim, some say 3 Kavim. Their Papa Gufe, Ki Dekure, Der Harfanai. And Rabbi Papa himself is like the size of the baskets of Harfanai. So the Gemara here is describing something that their members were such large. Now the Gemara here brings Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yose. And what seems like Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Papa must have also been large men, very large men. Right, and therefore, right. Well, Basar, who the Gemara Baba by the bench when he sits on the bench.
Yeah,
on the bench. On the bench, if Rav Papa, if someone sits down on the bench like Rav Papa, he was a Basar, right? So the Gemara in other places says Rav Papa was very hefty. And so Rabbi Yochanan also must have been, I guess, a larger person. So here they're explaining that since they were large people, so too their members were large. The Gemara says, so what? What's the Gemara doing? Because the Tosus explains top. Right, so that this is written here. This Gemara is to show that people are hefty or people are large. Meaning that to show that these tell me the chachamim who are very large, right? Their members were large, and therefore that's how they overcome the fats. They overcome their heftiness, and that's why they're able to have children. So you shouldn't think that when other people are hefty, how is it possible that they have children? So that's what the Gemara is bringing this down here. Not to, this is some macho, show-off thing, but rather this is an indication that the Gemara is responding to this whole sequence of events with the matron, that people should know in general that you can't cast aspersions on the children of those that are heftier, those that are larger size. Okay, we'll stop over here.